In the name of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we, your children, thank you this morning for this kingdom that you have lowered upon this sinful and dark world. This kingdom where we can be citizens of, partakers of, where we hear your precious and comforting gospel message. Dear Father, we pray on behalf of those who are experiencing trials of life, loss of life, difficulties with health, sickness. We also pray on behalf of those who are struggling with heavy doubts. But above all, we thank you this morning, dear Father, for your beloved Son, who through his atonement work paved the way, directed the way that we are journeying toward heaven's shore. As we gather around your holy and undying word at this moment, dear Father, we pray that you would open your word, that you would give unto us a believing heart and a trusting heart. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we heard already this morning, we were singing a song in memory of a little baby whose life had just begun and then it ended. And I thought that for the family members, the parents, that it must be obviously a very, probably the most difficult time in their young lives. And I think our minds easily at that time, which many of you have experienced, that you want to hear the words that are words of comfort and seeking out those who can understand and maybe relate to what has taken place. And the theme for today is how Jesus was victorious over all temptations that he was given. So even in, or especially on, in times of trials and difficulties of this nature, the Bible says that Jesus was, I believe in Hebrews, it says that Jesus was tempted in all things. And I believe it's Apostle Paul who writes to Corinthians that yet he was sinless. So we have this perfect comforter on our side to continue to depend on the Lord of life, especially in the midst of struggles. And when we think of someone as Jesus, who was perfect in every way, we cannot relate to him fully because he was perfect. None of us are. But yet Jesus can relate to us in every way because in all things he was tempted, but yet he was sinless and perfect. So we cannot relate to the perfectness of our Lord of life. But I thought for our text this morning that I would read from the 25th chapter of Isaiah of something that we can relate to. Everyone that is believing can relate to, and that is to be a member of God's kingdom, a citizen of heaven, already here on earth. I will read verses 6, 7, and 8 with that prayer that God will give words accordingly to our needs. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up in death. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. This portion of God's word speaks of a feast on a mountain, and then later on it spoke of how the Lord will destroy the covering cast over all people that is spread over all nations, and how he will wipe the tears from all faces. And if we concentrate in the beginning to this word feast, many of you, a little bit, you younger ones, not the very youngest, but youth and older ones, you know what this word means, the word feast. And it is something that is in abundance. And in my mind, when I think of a feast, I think of food. And those of you that were able to be here yesterday, there was food served here. And when you have a birthday or some type of a celebration at home, there is plenty of food of different varieties. And we can think of that as a feast. Now when we prepare that type of food, whether it's here at services where we sometimes have food, or weddings, or when we celebrate Thanksgiving in our homes. Also, you know that especially the mothers at the house, there is a lot of preparation work to be done before that eating can take place. First, they have to try to calculate how many are coming, what the food amount should be. And for weddings here at our church, especially, try to estimate the number of guests that will come and what the interest level is and so forth. So when we go through all this preparation and guessing and so forth, we can still be wrong. There are some things that we might not consider that we should have thought of, perhaps. I think sometimes has happened when we have served food here at our church that sometimes the food runs out and there is still a little bit of a line left. And maybe they're at home when you have different foods, you might want a little bit more of something that you had, but the food is gone. It's eaten up. So even though we try our best, these unforeseens can happen, and we can't foresee everything because we are imperfect. Only God, and Jesus was a God, can consider all things, take all things into account. And this is a comforting thought to realize that God doesn't forget a child of God ever in his life. As long as they want to endeavor as a believer, God will remember them. And the Bible even testifies when Jesus spoke to his disciples shortly before he ascended into heaven, Jesus told them that I will go and prepare a place for you in heaven. So he didn't forget his disciples. And even though when we, the children of God today, when we compare ourselves to, or when we hear word of God spoken and how we ought to be and behave and speak and so forth, every one of us have fallen short of those instructions in one way or another. And being that God knows all things, God knows that we have fallen short. When Jesus began his public ministry in the very, very beginning, there was a large group of people that was following him. And Jesus spoke to them, and he realized that they are faulty and lacking, even though they are believers. But he wanted to comfort them, just as God wants to comfort us today. Jesus told them that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we think of our own spiritual part, there are times when it feels that we have our feet firmly planted on that rock, our Lord of life, his teachings, and so forth. But also, how many times we forget, even though we want to be believers. So Jesus here wants to comfort that you are still a child of God, for yours is still the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So this feast that Isaiah has written here, this big festivity, if you will, as he pictures here, the preparer of the food is God himself. One who has created all things. So we can look at it even in this way, that one who has created everything that we see in one way or another, he has created you. Certainly, he will not forget you. It says here that it's a feast of fat things. So this means that there is more than enough. God doesn't need to guess or estimate or hope, because he knows all things. So being that there is more food than we can have, than we can consume, this gives us a picture that we get more than we deserve. And I don't think we need to look far from ourselves at all to realize that we have received more than we deserve. And even of that, we need to be reminded from time to time that we have received more than we deserve. The Word of God reminds us that everyone has fallen short of the glory of God, which means that everyone has fallen into sin. Everyone is a sinner, but a child of God is a pardoned sinner. And the Word of God also says that the wages of sin is death. So we deserve death. But yet in God's kingdom, we are offered grace. We are offered hope and comfort. And we are yet heaven acceptable, even though we have fallen into sin so many times. Isn't this a reminder to us that in God's kingdom there is so much offered unto us, more than we deserve, in abundance, every day? This can be had in God's kingdom. We cannot find this food for our souls anywhere but in God's kingdom. We can only find this food where the Spirit of God is. And the Spirit of God is with His own in His kingdom. not anywhere else. So if this food that we are receiving in God's kingdom, if it ended, if there was no more food to be had, imagine what would happen in your daily life if you miss a meal. If you miss breakfast, you're going to be extremely hungry for lunch. If you miss lunch, you're going to be extremely hungry already shortly after lunch. And certainly before supper, you would be feeling very, very starved. But yet, in our congregation and in many congregations, we have many elders, those who have lived decades and decades longer than you younger ones. If you went to ask them that has the food for your spirit ended at any time in your life, they would tell you that there in God's kingdom, there has always been food. There has always been encouragement, hope, and grace, forgiveness. That has never ended in God's kingdom. But the Bible also says that there will come a day when grace is no longer offered, not just to one person, but to anyone who is outside of God's kingdom, there will be no more grace. God's patience one day will come to an end, just as it was in the days of Noah. Noah preached hope, grace, and forgiveness. But they didn't want to listen to Noah. And one day, it started to rain. It rained so much that all the world drowned except for Noah and his family. Grace was no longer to be had. Now, were there people that wanted to get into that ark to save themselves from that water, from death? I think there were many. But God's patience had come to an end, and there was no more grace to be had. But God didn't forget Noah and his family. God won't forget any one of us that are dwelling in God's kingdom today. He will remember you even when you have those days of struggle, darker days, when it feels like everything is going the wrong way. Maybe there was a day when you were giving a heavy, heavy trial. Those days, we begin to doubt, and we ask ourselves that why did God allow this to happen? Does He remember me? I think we have all had those thoughts at some point, and if you haven't, you will. But when we are endeavoring to remain in God's kingdom, we have been given this promise that God will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will be with you until the very last day of your life. So this text speaks of a feast that is on a mountain. So when this calling to this gathering or this feast goes out, just as it did during Noah's time, Old Testament time, and time again in the books of the New Testament, and even in our time, this call goes out to every person that is outside of God's kingdom to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So when this call goes out to come and take part in this feast, in this gathering, we need to know, even in our temporal lives, when we are called to a wedding or a birthday party or a festive event of some kind, we need to know where to go. We need to know the address. And God here says that of this feast, it is very specific. God says that in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. So when you drove here or rode in the car, you probably passed many churches, even if you came from our community. There were many different churches along the way. And they all believe slightly differently in one way or another. But God here is very specific that it is on this mountain. And he refers to this mountain as this is the kingdom of God. As I mentioned earlier, God's Spirit only dwells in his kingdom. And this, dear brothers and sisters, you are living in God's kingdom. So today, this call goes out to everyone, even to those who are attending churches that are of different beliefs and so forth. And in our day, this call goes out even via the internet and goes out to most parts of the world, goes to millions and billions of people, but yet there are so very few that are chosen. God chooses his people. So when we think of the amount of people that are on this earth and how few there are in relation to that, even though when we have services, we have hundreds of people, but that's only a small drop in the sea of water. When the people during the days of Noah died, they estimate that there were millions and millions of people during that time, but yet there were only 8 that survived, and all those were believers. So even in this regard, we can trust that even though the flock of believers it's small in relation to the world population, we can still trust that this is God's kingdom. This is where we can hear the truth This is where God's Spirit dwells. So, when God calls those who are on the outside of God's kingdom, how does God call today? Just as, if you remember when Peter and the apostles, they spoke on Pentecost shortly after Jesus had died. Jesus had already gone to heaven. He was no longer walking on this earth. But the call to his kingdom did not end because Jesus had ascended into heaven. God's work continued through pardoned sinners. And when Apostle Peter spoke on Pentecost, there were thousands of people that God had chosen into his kingdom. And they wanted to have their sins forgiven. They knew and felt through the preaching of Peter, the Word of God, as it has often been mentioned, it's as a two-edged sword. And when the Word of God was spoken to those in unbelief, the one edge revealed their condition. They felt that they were sinners and they needed to do something with that sin. In their condition, they were not heaven acceptable. And the other edge of the sword healed that wound, that cut, that opening that was made by the other side of the sword to reveal their sin-falling condition. The gospel message was preached unto them, and they believed that their sins were forgiven, and the wound was closed. It was healed by the other side of that sword. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast of all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. So this verse mentioned the word covering, a covering cast over all people, and that God will once destroy that. I think all of us that are just a little bit older, probably all you youth, and most, if not all of you children, you have played some type of a game where you are blindfolded, where you can't see anything. Everything is black. And this is how the Bible relates to those who are outside of God's kingdom. Those who do not desire to believe according to the Bible, that they are blind people. They're walking in the darkness. They can't see. And when it is pitch black, if there is a small glimmer of light somewhere, you would be able to detect it. And that's how God is calling today. Those people who are searching for God's kingdom, God is calling them through believers today. So what does that mean for you? What does it mean for me? I read a portion in the beginning from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus spoke. Jesus refers to believers as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And then he encourages us that let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I mentioned when I spoke to the Sunday school this morning of how we confess our faith in different ways, in different situations. In school, at work, among unbelievers, and among believers as well. And it's important that we would remember when these instances come up, when we are presented or tempted with an idea that is contrary to the Word of God, that we would say that I don't believe in that way. The Bible doesn't agree with that. And I want to believe according to the Bible. Now, it's not always easy to confess your faith in that way, but yet we are encouraged to do so. It is perhaps easier to confess our faith when we are in the midst of a flock of believers. But sometimes even that can be very difficult if we are presented an idea or a thought or tempted by something that is contrary to the Word of God by another believer. And especially, I can relate to this very personally, and maybe most of you or all of you can as well, especially in your youth, when somebody is encouraging you to partake of something that is not according to God's Word. It's not very easy to say then to that other believer that this is not right. This is not what the Bible teaches. But dear brother and sister, dear youth especially, by confessing your faith in that type of a way, not only are you resisting the temptation of the enemy of souls, but you are also encouraging the other believer to not partake in those things that are contrary to the Word of God. So help one another in that way, that we would encourage one another to continue to believe according to the Bible and the teaching that you have received there at home or in Sunday school, Bible class, maybe by your other believing friends and at services also. Our text said that on this mountain in the kingdom of God, this covering will be destroyed. And when we believe, When we endeavor to believe, endeavoring God's kingdom, one day we will see fully. In this time, we can only see short glimpses of the promises of God. But many times we have heard how we see with our eyes of faith. We understand with our eyes of faith. Many things we cannot explain as to why or why not, but yet through eyes of faith we understand a certain way, and we can feel when something is right or when something is wrong, even if we cannot explain, but yet we believe according to the Bible. Then in the last verse, Isaiah writes that he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. We have already today heard of death, someone whose life had barely started, and then it ended. The family is experiencing extreme sadness and sorrow. But again, even in the midst of that sorrow and sadness, through eyes of faith, they will be able to see that there is much reason for thanks unto God. There is much hope, and there is much joy. And when we endeavor to believe, when we remain in God's kingdom, one day, every one of those who have left this earth, those who have died in faith, we will see them once again. So, even though we cannot understand, it goes against our minds, especially when something happens that is extremely sad or sorrowful. God's Word encourages us to continue to believe, even if it goes against our understanding. The power of the gospel is found only on this mountain in the kingdom of God. So, dear brother and sister, you may have heavy doubts. You may experience sorrow or sadness. And I think we all realize that we are in need of comfort. We are sinners. Uplift your hearts this morning and believe this message that comes from all the way from God, from heaven, that all your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, and God will not remember them anymore. You are heaven acceptable when you endeavor to believe. And those that preach the gospel, they also live of the same gospel. And I would like to hear this for myself also. Can I believe all my sins and doubts forgiven? In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.